Well, I want to say just a few words before they come. As most of you know, it was this past March, late March, right around Easter time, that we hosted the mission team from Bolivar, Southwest Baptist University. And to get the nod over there from Elizabeth, make sure I had that right. But they came up here, and of course, we had been praying for them. Elizabeth decided to go, and then Angela decided to go on that trip and be a part of that team that was going to Brazil to do mission work, spread the gospel, minister along the Amazon River region. And many of you, of course, were praying for them. Many of you supported them financially and gave to help them go. Many of you signed up to house them, and we had enough people we couldn't even use all the houses for the team. Part of the team came up and used some of the houses that were opened up to stay overnight, and then many of you brought in food, more food than they could ever possibly eat on the way to the airport, but just bless them. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you for being the church. Thank you for loving on God's people and being a part of missions and serving in any way that you can to support the work of Christ and the spread of the gospel through others. And that's Bible, that's the scripture. I want to read a passage. 3 John verses 5 through 8 says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth." And so as we receive others in Christ in, and we support them, and they don't have to take anything from the Gentiles, meaning a lost world, but they're fully funded and supported and prayed for and lifted up by the people of God, then we do well, and we get to share in the work of spreading the gospel through them. And so that's been our blessing as a church, just to be a small part of this trip and them going and what God did on this trip. And in Acts 13, we see the church set Paul and Barnabas apart for the work of ministry that the Holy Spirit called them. They laid hands on them, and they prayed for them, and they sent them out. And then in Acts 14, they came back, and they gathered the church together, and they gave the report, and they shared all that God had done. And so that's what we're doing this morning. They're back. It's been a little bit of time, but they're going to share the report of what happened on this trip and what God did and what they learned, and we'll get the blessing of hearing and being a part of that. And so let's pray for them as they come. And let's ask the Lord to be with them. And as we pray, you can go ahead and make your way this way. Father, we do bow before you. Thank you for this time. Bless Elizabeth and Angela, Lord, as they come to share. Just bring to their remembrance and their mind the things that you did, how you moved and worked, the lives that you touched. And just enable them, Lord. Give them a calmness in your spirit, confidence, Lord, that you're with them. And just help them to share the things that you have placed on their heart, and may it find fertile soil in us, God. May it bless us this morning, encourage us, and challenge us in the work of Christ. And we praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So we just, again, want to thank you guys for praying for us and supporting us financially while we went on this trip. This verse up here, Hebrews 10:23-25, was just kind of our group verse that we had going out, so I'm going to read it for you guys before we get started. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You can go to the next slide. This is just a picture of the map. We landed in Manaus, and then we drove a little bit and got on a boat and went down the Amazon River. We are up, I guess. The orange brown spot is where we landed, and then went up and kind of went off to the Negro River, the Black River. Next. This is a picture of our team and some of the interpreters that were with us for the week. Just the group from SBU. All of us except for Angela were PT students or PTs. You can go to the next one.
There's a triage that is where the people start, and they're like, okay, so why are you coming here? And then they either go to a dentist or a doctor or a physical therapist. So as a nurse, I was able to go into the triage and help out there. So I did vital signs, figured out where they were going, because pretty much there's like the towns get like foreknowledge that we're the boat is coming, and then it's just whoever feels like coming that day. So some days we had a bunch of patients, and some days there was just a couple. So So they pretty much just come with whatever they have going on at the time, and or things that have been going on for a while. Because the thing about this region is that it's rural in an aspect, but even more so than like here. They don't have doctors, they don't have dentists, they don't have access to any of this care unless they're to go by motorboat for a couple hours. So us bringing it to them is not only a huge help for their health, but then also the church uses it as an opportunity to connect with the people in the communities, and they go out and do evangelism, paint houses, do some like VBS and women's and men's ministry. And so that's kind of the whole function of the boat. So they use it as an opportunity for Christ. Okay. Do you want to do this one? Go ahead. This is, explain the day.
So this is what like our little eating area looked like. We did morning devotionals in here. So we would start the day out at like 7. I feel like it was 7. And we would eat breakfast. We would all get in a little line, carry food up from downstairs, and carry it back down after. And then we would have someone from either the boat or from the community that we stopped at that day that was kind of like their spiritual leader in the community come on and give a devotion, and we would sing worship songs. When the village we stopped at had somebody that had a good spiritual leader, they would come on and do devotion, and they would also give us a little insight of like what's going on in the community, what their struggles were. Some communities we stopped at did not have anybody in the community that was leading the community in any way, didn't have churches. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so we would do our devotional, and then after that, it was kind of like our breakout time. So depending on the day and depending on how they split you up that day, because they just split up our whole team, you'd either stay on the boat and help with the health ministries, or you would go out into the community and do evangelism or paint houses for the morning. So on day one, I was able to join the health team. So here we have some dentists, another nurse, some more dentists, another nurse, and then a doctor and a dental student down in the front. So they had a pretty good crew going. And yeah, it was really cool getting to see them sacrifice their time, even like a dental student, to see somebody who's in school for this be able to already learn and see what it looks like to use their talents for the Lord. So yeah, that was the team, and it was a really good group.
I actually went out with the evangelism team on the first day, and I think there was a group of like 4 or 5 of us that went out with the preacher and his wife on the boat. And this is actually the first house that we went to. This is a family of a single mom and her 3 kids. And honestly, this day was just a lot of me seeing how the Lord provided. We went to this house, and this family had just recently lost their dad within the past 6 months. They had a daughter that was about 12 or 13, and she was struggling a lot with it. We had one of my friends actually that went on the trip with us had lost her dad at the same age, and she wasn't planning on speaking or anything when we got to these houses. The preacher just kind of like was going to show us how to do it when we first got there, and then if we wanted to speak, he was like, oh, I can translate for you. But she got to share her whole testimony and how she came to the Lord, because this little girl was going through the same thing that she got to go through. So it was really sweet for me to see my friend used by the Lord in this way, and just to hear her testimony, which I had never heard all of it before. You can go to the next. Oh, this is the second house we went to. This little girl, her name is Ariella. She was so sweet. She's in the picture with her grandma. Her dad is in the picture, but not really in the picture. I don't really know where her mom was at, but her grandma was kind of just the one bringing her up to know the Lord, and it was really sweet to see that the Lord had placed someone in her life to share Jesus with her. And while we were there, the preacher that we were with, Yvonne, he had shared a Bible story, and the little girl just started crying, and it was humbling to me because she cried over the fact that how good God is and her love for the Lord. And I don't know, it was just really sweet to see just kind of like childlike faith presented through her.
So the other thing we would do, so the mornings we would go out, do like these, all these different things. And then in the afternoon they would host VBS for kids, women's ministry, and men's ministry. So just calling whoever they knew in the community and then welcoming anybody else who happened to walk by and join. And then in the evenings after we ate dinner back on the boat, we would do a church service in the area. So like Elizabeth said, some of these places did have pastors and things, like established churches, but so we were just kind of a supplement service for them. And then other places it was likely the only church service they were going to have until somebody else came and decided to preach. So really the emphasis made on the boat was that they're there to help support and build leaders in the communities. They're not trying to be a church that is there once every couple of months. They're trying to just build up and encourage the believers that are there, as well as if they don't have believers there, to get people to go and stay and build a church. So we did a service. This is kind of what their churches look like. It's very plain. You just sit in the plastic chairs, and then some of them, we were even outside, so it kind of just depends on the town, but that's just kind of a little peek. Again, they had like the little earphones things so we could understand what was going on, but they just sang in Portuguese and preached in Portuguese, and it was a really cool experience, and we tried our best to learn some of the words. Okay, next slide. Okay, so in Tuesday we were in Bujaru. This was one of my pictures. I got to go out for evangelism that day. So these are some of the people from our team, and then one of our translators, Alicia, in the front there. I think this day my experience was a little different. Like, mostly the pastor talked, but I think it was good because at that point the Lord was kind of pressing on me boldness in my own testimony, and I got to see that through the pastor sharing his, because the pastor came out of being involved in drugs and the drug cartel and a lot of stuff that was not very good, that I could kind of see myself in, maybe not to the full degree, but a lot of similarities there that I often am insecure about, just knowing where I came from and the sins that I had before the Lord. Just having a day of listening to him, sharing his testimony and being bold about it and encouraging people in their own walks because of it was really encouraging.
This is me and a couple of our teammates, and Denny in the back in the orange shirt. She was kind of our children's ministry leader. We actually got to go into a school, and the teacher just kind of left the room, and we got to teach them the story of Zacchaeus, and I actually got to learn some Portuguese children's songs and got to help teach them. We basically just got to sit there and love on those kids for a while, and they answered some questions at the end, and they got little prizes, and it was really sweet to see them come up and just, like, hug us all, and they were so excited we were there. So I did that in the morning. And then the next one. And then this is me and our friend Gage. You can kind of see the lady in the back. The lady in the back was a villager that the PT team did a house visit to earlier that day and realized that her house was kind of falling apart, needed some help. So we actually went out and helped paint her house in the evening. They do a lot of painting of their houses because it adds about 10 to 12 years-ish, somewhere in there, of life onto how long those houses stay up. So even though it's not the best color sometimes or whatever, it helps them have a home for a longer time.
Yeah, so for some more context, it's kind of interesting because they're in the Amazon where it rains a lot and it's very, very humid. And all of their houses are made of wood. So you can just imagine what it does to a house even after a couple of years. So that's, the paint is really providing protection and things. So at first I was like, this is kind of silly. But then you think about it, it's like, no, this is making sure that these people have a place to live and stay and adding longevity to that and decreasing the stressors of finding a new home if yours gets ruined. So they had very simple houses, like there's not much inside, maybe some hammocks I think Elizabeth had seen, and I had painted one that was like brand new built, but so they're very simple homes, but the little things just to make sure that they can have a roof over their heads, literally. Okay, yep, so this is Wednesday in Bella Vista, which means beautiful view, and it was a very beautiful city, town. But so this is one of the houses that we painted. It was new, like there wasn't really anything in it, but they were planning to open it up as a shop, just some of these towns closer to Manaus like get a little bit of tourism to them. So they'll try to open up shops and sell little trinkets and things, and then also like food and snacks for the people that live in the town. So we were just painting and helping them out so that this building could last. So it was fun. We got to go with one of our translators. She's standing in the front there, and then other people from the team. And as I didn't know them, I was just asking them their testimonies and life stories the whole time. So it ended up being a good day for some bonding. So here's a little before and after. As you can see, it's just like plain wood. And I don't know how long it had been up there, but it was already starting to show some weather and wear. And the building hadn't even really been used yet. So then we painted it, and hopefully it will have a good longer life.
This is what I did on Wednesday. I was actually in the PT clinic. So this is a picture of one of the PTs with us and one of the other PT students that I took. This day was really cool because I have been contemplating like where the Lord wants me to go with my PT degree once I actually graduate. And I feel led towards missions in a way, so it was really fun to actually go somewhere. And even though I have very limited knowledge with my first year of PT school, I actually got to use what I'd been learning. And for me, it was a lot more interesting because there's no rules on insurance or how long we can see a patient or whatever. So we actually got to see a patient and treat them and not just, okay, I can only see you for 30 minutes. You're not done, but I have to kick you out anyway. So, like, we saw patients for up to, like, an hour, hour and a half just to make sure they were fully taken care of. This day was really sweet for me because when I did get to sit back and watch, it was really cool to see how the Lord let patients come in. And after one visit, they were already feeling better. And I feel like I don't really see that much in the States. People come in, and they're like, oh, I still don't feel very well, and they leave. But people would come in, and they'd say, I haven't felt this good in years. And we brought supplies and stuff, and like we brought some shoes for people, and it was really cool to see a patient would come in and, oh, we should give them shoes, and we have the exact size they need. So it was really fun to be in there.
So in that picture, the guy in the back, bald with the beard, that's Phil. We had two actual licensed physical therapists with us, Phil and then I just spaced on her name.
Kate Miller.
Kate. I know who she is. And so all the students like practiced under them. And Phil was really amazed by the results that they were able to get in these short visits. He's like, it's not like that in the States. Like people will be like, yeah, maybe I'm okay. And these people were like, no, I feel completely better. And so he was giving all the glory to God through all of that because it was just not normal. Okay, so Thursday we went to Jaraki, and this was the first time that the boat had actually stopped in this town, so it was kind of exciting for us and for them. As you can see, it's kind of a whole hill. The boat was parked like at the bottom of it, and then we just did a lot of our ministry and reaching out to the community that day on this hill. So in the morning, Elizabeth and I got to go out for evangelism. They didn't really know anybody in the town, and so they weren't going to go knock on doors. They just wanted to attract people to the boat so that they could understand why they were there and what they were doing. So we kind of, like the men are at the bottom, we sat in a circle and we just sang worship songs. And it was really cool to see people just come and sit down. And we saw a guy give his life to the Lord through that. And then other believers come and just share testimonies with us. So it was a really sweet yet simple time. And then in the afternoon, this is where we were doing men's ministry at the bottom, and then at the top was women's ministry. I actually got the chance to share that day with women's ministry, and it was cool because me and then a Brazilian woman both shared, and she went first, and we hadn't planned anything, I went first. We hadn't planned anything, but then like what she said tied into like my own testimony, and it was just really cool to see the way the Lord orchestrated that, and we were really just trying to encourage these women to be women of faith and not seek the ways of the world, because as you see people even here struggle with drugs and alcohol and just all these forms of escaping from life here, they have the same problems there. So even at young ages, old ages, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of the same as it is in the States. So it was encouraging to see like testimonies that cross cultures and barriers, because really Satan works in similar ways no matter where you are.
So in the evening,
In the morning. Backwards.
I was like, I don't know when I did this, because I was at women's ministry as well and evangelism, so I actually don't know when this fits in. But this was the same day I got to do children's ministry again, and we weren't sure who all was going to show up, who would kind of just let their children run off with strangers they'd never met before, but we actually had a really good turnout. We got to give them some gifts like bubbles and some little candies that we brought along. Got to share the story of the lost sheep with them. So it was really sweet again just to see how eager the kids were to just see us learn about stuff.
Okay, so the other exciting thing, like I said, this was the first visit into the town, but prior to this, the town leaders had been working with the boat ministry, and just they were advocating for a well in their town. The Amazon River, as you may have heard, if you hear anything about it, is disgusting. There's not regulations on what's dumped into it. There's not really anything. It's muddy looking and gross, and there's a lot of things that you don't want to be ingesting into it. So a lot of the people in the Amazon, they actually will freeze their water before drinking it in an effort to kill the bacteria, but and they may be a little more resistant to some of the sicknesses you can get to the water, but they're not immune from it. So there is a lot of just general GI upset from their drinking water, which is also something they need to survive. And it causes children to get sick and pass away. It causes the same thing for elderly. It's really a problem. And so this well was a huge blessing to them. There was a man there that actually has lived in this town for like 60 years, and he had been praying for a well, and he finally got to see it come to fruition, and it was a very sweet time. So we gathered around. Pastor Yvonne shared some words from the Lord, and then we prayed, and then they turned on the well, and there's Dusty, who is our connection to the boat ministry. He was able to, they all drank from the well, and everyone was just cheering and excited. So they also hope, we were kind of up at the top of this hill. It probably goes back in all types of terrain, but they did say there are like tribal communities back there as well that they are hoping to reach through this well being located where it is, so. Friday, we were in, I honestly don't know how to say this town's name, and so Elizabeth and I and some other people on our team spent the day painting this church. So there's not a really good before picture, but you can see the means that we had to use to try to repaint the letters. we were just using what we got. So we had two guys holding another guy up on a whole stack of chairs on a table. So, yeah, OSHA does not exist in Brazil. but it was really satisfying even for us just to see, like, as you're painting, like, it just got more beautiful. So that was just something we were able to do to help kind of bless the ministry going on there and just give them a little help while we were there.
This was also our last day on the boat, and this is a picture of me and Angela and one of the dentists that we actually shared a room with, who spoke very, very little English, but still somehow the Lord was able to give us a good relationship with her. We actually almost got in trouble one night because we were laughing, trying to figure out what each of us were trying to speak about, and we had someone come tell us we need to be quiet because everybody in the boat can hear us.
There's also no internet, and so there's no using Google Translate or anything. It was just our best efforts.
which it worked out pretty well, I think. The Lord was able to help us out with that. But this was actually a very sweet but sad time for us. I feel like I was able to get really close with people on the boat, and not because we had anything in common besides the Lord. Like, none of the same background, kind of none of the same interests. We just both had a love for the Lord and just grew a relationship through that. That was something the Lord is actually teaching me on this trip, was just how he provides for us and how he loves us. It was just really sweet to be able to worship alongside the body of Christ, even though we did not speak the same language. Another thing the Lord had been teaching me on this trip, which I kind of brought up on a Wednesday night here sometime before I left, I had brought up like a list of prayer requests, and one of them was me being worried about going back to school and being too busy to seek the Lord and just by my own doings. So going into the trip, I still felt like I had been distant from the Lord. I hadn't been seeking him like I should. And I was so worried that I was going to go on this trip and the Lord was not going to use me, and that I'd just kind of be a place taker. I'd just kind of be sitting there. And that feeling did not magically go away because I was on a mission trip. But through people I had never met before, people I'd been going to school with, the Lord used them and just let me know that even if I'm not seeking the Lord is still pursuing me, and that should draw me back to him. And that the Lord loves me and is kind to me even when I don't see it or don't feel like it. So this was just a very sweet day of remembering that. Another thing to kind of go along with that, every night that we did a church service, we also did the Lord's Supper with that community, which was just another like reminder of fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord's church. But I think it was the second night, because I'd been feeling distant, I just sat in the chair, not really wanting to get up and take the Lord's Supper, because I did not feel worthy enough, did not feel like I deserved to be a part of this. But through a couple other people who had no idea that I was sitting there trying not to cry, they were like, oh, get up, come take the Lord's Supper with us. So I did, which I'm glad I did, because, like I said, it was such a sweet time of fellowship with the Lord's body. But it was also really hard for me because I had felt distant from the Lord and felt like I shouldn't. But again, the Lord had just continued to remind me of his goodness. Even after that, we went back to the boat and a group of us went to the very top of it where it was just kind of open in the air. And we sat there and we prayed. And it was just such a sweet time of knowing the Lord's kindness.
I guess go to the next one. Okay. I guess I'll speak a little bit on the last slide, just the goodbyes part. I know something that the Lord had been pressing on me before going was just paying attention and being present in the here and now and not getting caught up in the cares of this world. I had my house light on fire last summer, and so that kind of became just this overwhelming thing that took over the next 6 months. And so by the point of Brazil, I was exhausted. My home was finally getting put back together, but then it was the overwhelm of sorting it all out and getting things back to like a functioning state. And just realizing that through the 6 months that I was overwhelmed and stressed and trying to deal with insurance and all these fun things, I had slacked on building relationships with people that were around me, my neighbors, my church, and had just really withdrawn. And so this trip also really helped me pay attention to those who are around me, especially when, like, it would have been easy for our team to just only talk to our team and ignore all the Brazilians on the boat, but that isn't what the Lord calls us to, and it wouldn't be very kind in general. And so it was a whole week of getting out of our own fears and our heads, and just attempting to communicate in very broken English and broken Portuguese, but the Lord blessed it. And so it was just a sweet reminder to pay attention to those who are around you, because this trip would not have been the same had we not gone out of our way to form community with those people and get to know their stories and get to know why they were there and all those things. So, and the same thing for evangelism. Like, if you're not willing to share, if you're not willing to get out of your own problems and own struggles, like, the Lord's word doesn't go forth. So it was just a very convicting and eye-opening time throughout this trip. So this last slide here is just a little more about the boat ministry. So as I said, it's connected to a church in Manaus. And they have been doing this for 40 years now. So through the 40 years, they have themselves reached 300 villages, which is less than 1% of the villages in the Amazonian region. There have been 15 total churches planted, and so altogether there are 45,000 villages. 11,000 of those have no church, or like no church presence at all. So that's counting all the different denominations and everything. There's still 11,000 unreached villages and tribes in that area. So that's really what this ministry is aiming to do, is to strengthen those who are there and then reach out as the resources come to those who have not even heard the word of Christ and are not like influenced it, like don't have churches in their own areas to help influence and reach out to those who are lost. So yeah, kind of some big stats there, but it's an ongoing ministry, and there's a lot of attacks against it, even within the villages, because they do a lot of witchcraft and things like that that directly oppose the Lord. So it was an interesting time, but they definitely need our prayers going forth and prayers for their own strength. I know Pastor Yvonne and his wife, Karina, they spend more time on the boat than they do actually at home. So this is their life, and they're constantly just trying to press forward against resistance. So it's a really cool thing going on, but really tough. And I guess just go to the picture at the end. So we'll open up for questions if anybody has any, unless you have anything else to say, Elizabeth. Okay, yeah, questions. That's kind of just like an overview of our church, of our trip, and a little snippets of what we learned.
What did you do about water and bathing facilities and cooking?
So like drinking water, we actually had I don't know what they're called, the big jugs that we drank out of.
Yeah, they filtered all the water.
Yeah. We did shower in water that came out of the Amazon River, but it was a little filtered, so it was just only a little brown. But that was okay. Food-wise?
They fed us very, very well.
Yeah. Some of it, I was not sure if I wanted to eat, but I tried, and it was good. We did have to help. We had like shifts kind of not with actually cooking, but with dishes. So we would get to go downstairs, and it's like maybe like a fourth the size of the stage, and the back of it just goes right off into the Amazon River, and you stand there at sinks and you wash dishes with the other people on the boat. So we did that.
Yeah, they have, so like, so Pastor Yvonne and Karina are on the trip, are on the boat, sorry, I'm losing my words, practically year-round. There's also staff that comes with any of the trips that go out, and they do trips fairly often, I think almost monthly, if not more frequent than that. So there's cooks that stay there, there's other helps, mechanics, and then I know Captain High, he drove the boat, and he's done a lot of them, but I think there's a couple that kind of switch out. But so they have a whole team that kind of functions in this boat and keeps it running so that the gospel can go forth.
Amen.
So for us, everything was on the boat. Where it went, I honestly don't know. But all the water was just, they had like giant tanks on the top of the boat, and then it was just like gravity down to the bathroom facilities. Yeah, and then in the towns, I couldn't tell you what they do, but they don't have bathrooms that I could see, so you can fill in the blank.
It mainly moved while we slept, so we would like get somewhere in the morning and kind of dock, spend the day there, and then depending on how far away the next village was, would depend on when we leave. Sometimes we'd go to bed. I think our lights out was at like 10, and we'd still be at the village, or sometimes we would get done with supper and the boat would be moving. So mainly tried to move at night, but just kind of depended where we were going. We did get to, Angela swam with, and I just pet a pink dolphin in one of the areas. I know some people saw parrots, but I did not. We actually went to one village, and it was so funny because there was an older gentleman, and he had like 6 or 7 wiener dogs that just followed him around, and it was funny because like it just looked like the whole village was taken over by the little wiener dogs.
They, like, followed him onto the boat and everything. We were just calling it Wiener Dog Island. But, yeah, there's parrots. I got bit up by some fire ants. That was really fun. Elizabeth did, too. There's some other ant that has, like, the worst bite in the world or something someone had taken a picture of. I think that I didn't see a lot of animals because I didn't want to see them. So... People are seeing snakes and trees and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking up there.
I think kind of both, depending on where you were at. Like, some villages were so far out that they couldn't go anywhere else to get it. They just had to grow it. I think on the boat, they probably bought stuff and had it, like, brought in with us from, like, before we left the bigger town.
Yes.
You know, I actually did not get bit by a mosquito once, but I got bit by fire ants, but no mosquitoes. So some people got it really bad. I usually do, but I did not.
I don't even know what really makes mosquitoes attracted to you here. I don't know if I was sweating so much that eventually they, like, chilled out, but I was putting on bug spray most days, and, like, the first day when we landed in Manaus, I was off the boat for, like, or off the boat, off the bus for, like, 5 minutes. We were bringing in our luggage, and I had got bit a couple times. I'm like, this is going to be terrible, but thankfully the bug spray worked. But I don't know. I
feel like if people did get bit by mosquitoes, a lot of them got bit in the airport in Manaus rather than out in the villages. So maybe it was just the bug spray that we packed on. A lot of us were using like 98% DEET. So,
yeah, they said we had to put on our bug spray at a certain place in the boat because it would peel the paint off of it. So it was really great. But, all for not getting malaria. That was our goal. So.
When the boat pulled up to a village, did the village just know to come down and there was going to be ministry taking place, or did they have to go out and kind of let the village know, or how did that work when the boat?
So it was explained to me that the like boat organizers get in contact with the village leaders and tell them at this day we will be coming. So I think sometimes there would be people waiting around. It just kind of depended, and then it would be like a trickle in, and lines would form and things would kind of get going by like mid-morning. Okay. So yeah, something about Brazilians is they're very family oriented. That was said on our first day and I didn't really get it. I was like, oh yeah, family oriented, like I love my family, I'm a family-oriented person, but they, instead of being about their family, they see the other people that they love and care for also as family. So that, in general, just makes a very warm culture. And so a lot of people were very thankful. But it just kind of depended. Like, I know we did evangelism one day, and we were meeting with a family that they had previously connected with, and really just advocating for this man to walk with the Lord again because his mom had convinced him not to, and there was a lot of, like, demonic things at play. And so, like, where there is acceptance, there's also some great resistance to it, so...
On the first day when I went out with evangelism, we were supposed to go out again in the evening, but like by the time we walked out to this church, it started pouring. So we were like, maybe we try and wait it out before we go to people's houses. And we actually didn't get to go out again, but the pastor kind of sat down and told us a little bit about like the communities. And he had told us that, like, you can go into somebody's house and they will welcome you. They'll let you sit and talk about Jesus. And he's like, and if you're like, do you accept Jesus? They're like, yeah, I accept your Jesus. But they don't ever claim it as their own God. And he said that he's been to houses, like the same house, many times. And every time he comes back, the people are like, yeah, I accept your Jesus. I'll accept him. But it's more of just to, like, please you and not make you upset. But they still, like, follow their own ways. A lot of those villages, they would have, like, I guess maybe like a non-denominational church or whatever. I don't know what they call it. Something like that. And a lot of them would have like Catholic churches as well. And then a lot of them practice witchcraft. So like they would be very welcoming and they would let you come in and they would let you share about God. But if they actually accepted him or not is another thing. So
I know something else the pastor had shared, like the town that we had been to, that it was the first time the boat had docked there. He explained to us also, like, this is a new place, but we're not going to say, like, we're not going to share the gospel outright, if that makes sense. Because these people have had people come by and they do say, yeah, I'll accept Jesus. Like, that sounds good. Like, who wouldn't want to be saved from hell? Like, and so, but it's more of, he tries to probe into, like, where is the Lord applied in your life? And that was encouraging and just something I hadn't seen applied in evangelism before. I've just seen evangelism as like, let me knock and figure out how to share the gospel and then you give your life and then discipleship. But it was like discipling these people like into, that may not be the right words, but like into true belief in the Lord because they'll tell you yes. But they won't actually change, and it's not true salvation. So I think that's something we also see here a lot, but it seems harsh to say that, so we shy away from it and just bank on their, like, one-time prayer is all they needed. But it was cool to see, like, the pastor say, like, this is actively something we have to fight against because otherwise everyone here is saved in one day, and that's really not the case.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah, and that was also something to kind of bring back home and chew on and think about. So, yeah. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah, and so it was cool to be like, realizing that it is a universal thing while I'm in the middle of the Amazon and I'm like, you're giving me tips on how to evangelize back home. Yeah. Like, it really is mm-hmm. universal.
Did they seem to be appreciative of what they had? I mean, I noticed that one house, you know, it didn't even go up to the roof. There was openings to the outside and stuff. You know, do they seem
I would think they are appreciative of what they have, but it was also kind of shocking for me, the village that we went into and we did the well dedication ceremony for, They didn't have clean running water, but these people had Wi-Fi and like nicer phones than I had. So it was weird to see like they don't have basic necessities to live, but they also have things that like aren't really needed, but are really like expensive and stuff like that. So it's just kind of weird to see the contrast in that.
I know a lot of the women seem to like stay home and take care of their kids, but that's also like who we were encountering, because we were doing children's ministry and women's ministry. I don't know if you heard anything. I know like some men had shops and things, and I don't know. Yeah,
I don't really know.
We didn't really get clued in on the on the men's side of things, so. Yeah, but if, I don't know, there was also a lot of struggle also with absent fathers, which is like a similar thing that we see here. So I would assume some work and provide well, and some just choose to be passive. So.
I know there was a real struggle in a lot of the communities, like with absent fathers, or if they were there, a lot of them had like alcohol problems, and a lot of them were not stepping up to be spiritual leaders. So the pastor had been coming in, and like they're trying to start men's ministry and trying getting like the men to be leaders just in general for their family, but also spiritual leaders, because he said that's something that they've been lacking on for a while, and it's just slowly getting worse and worse.
Yeah, so it was cool. Those of us who knew the Lord kind of knew, like, going in just through interactions with other people, like, who was actively walking with the Lord and who was either, like, wayward or maybe didn't know the Lord at all. And so it had been, like, a silent prayer through a bunch of us for some of these teammates that had joined us. Because it was just through the Christian school. And it was like, come and do physical therapy. Like, so, yeah, it had been something a lot of us had been praying throughout the week and being intentional in conversations. And I think it was maybe Thursday. It was near the end of the trip. And with our morning devotional, the pastor decided to do sort of like an altar call. He really hit on, like, there are some people here who are not walking with the Lord, and you are here for a reason, and so what are you going to do about it? We did have one of our teammates give his life to the Lord for the first time, and then some others. Oh, wait, no, we had two of them. And then I know some others, like, went down and got prayed for also, whether they were rededicating their life or just kind of sorting things out with the Lord, it's kind of hard to know. I think some of them also weren't sure, but they just felt prompted to go. But so that was a huge praise, was to get to see two of the men that joined us on this trip give their lives to the Lord. So we are continuing to pray for them, that they continue to make changes and things in their lives and walk faithfully with the Lord, because it's also like you enter into a bubble of Christianity in this like great awesome community, and then you go home and have to figure it out how that's going to actually look in your context. So yeah.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you so much for coming and sharing. Appreciate you taking the time to come and be with us today to do that. you so much. Thank you, Angela. So how much time do I have? No. I won't take too much time, but I do want to read a passage of Scripture in light of that. And I think, you know, one of the things I think we can take away is just that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, if you're able to get up and walk and do, you're able to go on a mission trip. You're able to be used of the Lord if you're His, and there's no question about that. And so we want to be prayerfully seeking God about that. It's more than just coming and sitting in the church building. It's going out the doors and being on mission. And I just want to read a passage of Scripture as we close. I'm not going to preach a message, just a few brief words, and then we will give an invitation this morning to respond. But Matthew chapter 9, this is what was on my heart as I was thinking about this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and it says this, and following into chapter 10 even, Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, in healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. And then dropping down to verse 5 of chapter 10, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.'" And that passage of Scripture is powerful. And you see there just the compassion of our Lord and His ministry, how He lived, how He operated His life, and we are called in Scripture to walk just as He walked. And it says here that Jesus went about all the villages, all the cities, and He was teaching in their synagogues, going to the churches, teaching the truth. He was going out and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and He was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So He's preaching the truth, and He's loving on the people and meeting real needs. Jesus saw people. He slowed down to see where people were, and it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them." And so he didn't just see people, and he didn't just walk past people, but he literally, that word "moved with compassion" means he was wrenched in his gut. It wrenched his gut when he looked at people because he saw the true need. He saw more than just the physical need. He saw their hopelessness. He saw them scattered. He saw them bound in sin and depravity. He saw them stumbling for the slaughter. He saw them heading for judgment. He saw them heading for hell. He saw their true need, and it gripped his heart. And so he brings this truth, a revelation to the apostles, and he gathers them to himself, and he says, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." He wants them to know that. There's a harvest of souls to bring into the kingdom of God, but there's very few who are out there working in that harvest, spreading the gospel, doing anything to bring them in. And so the command comes to pray. He calls them to prayer. And so prayer is crucial in the life of the church, and we need to be praying. And one of the things we need to be praying is for God to raise up laborers for the harvest of souls to come into Christ's kingdom. And the amazing thing about this account is right after this, those that Jesus called to pray, He then sent them out into the harvest. They became the laborers. And if we will pray for God to send out laborers, God will lay it on our heart that we are the laborers. We are the ones that God has called. And it says here, Jesus says to them, and He sends them out, He says, "And as you go, preach." Well, that's ministry. Ministry is what we've heard this morning. Flying overseas, getting on a boat and going to villages and into communities and cultures that we don't know nothing of, and just sacrificing ourselves and loving on them and doing whatever we can to minister to them with the love of Christ, meet real tangible needs, but then speaking the truth of the gospel into their heart. But also it's just as you go out these doors, as you go to work, as you go to the store, preach. Doesn't mean you have to come stand in a pulpit. It just means proclaim the truth of Christ. And we need to see people as Jesus saw people. When we look out at this world and we go out into this community and we step into Walmart and we look at people, does it grip our heart that they're lost? That they're heading for hell? Does it wrench our gut? Does it move us to pray for them? Does it move us to engage them in conversation? Ministry is not just in Brazil on the Amazon. It's everywhere that we go, and we want to be faithfully doing this work. That's why we're here. It's why we come in these doors, to get built up and then go out the doors doing the work of ministry. As we go, we're to be preaching. We are the laborers in the harvest. And so we want to be faithfully doing this work, and it's part of it is giving and sending others to go. Maybe God would have you go. Maybe God's calling you to preach. Maybe He's calling you to begin going on mission trips and giving yourself away to share the gospel, to minister to needs. We heard time and time again in the testimony how God just uses normal individuals, how God has brought them up, things they experienced on that mission field in the life of someone. When we went to Honduras, the same thing happened. I saw the skill set of people used on that mission field simply because they made themselves available and God put them in a place to use their skill set to share their testimony. And so if we'll just be available and faithful to go, God will use us. And we want to be going wherever God would send us, but we must be going daily wherever we are, and we need to be faithful to share, to slow down and love people, see people just in a daily ordeal, every day, every circumstance of every day, see people and where they are spiritually and seek to share with them the gospel and love on them with the love of Christ, meet any tangible need that we can, but then share the gospel. And the gospel will offend, but it will save. And so know that. We have believed the lie of the false commandment that's been given, and a lot of the churches bought it, that thou shalt not offend. And the gospel offends. And so know that as you go speak truth, it may upset a few people. Some people aren't going to want to hear it. But there will be divine appointments. If we'll speak it and share it, it is the power of God unto salvation, and God will save souls. And so how does God want you specifically to get more involved in missions? It may be surrendering your life to preach, surrendering yourself to go on the next mission trip or to get involved with missions and planning a mission trip. It may be, for all of us, it most certainly is, as we go out these doors today to preach, to be on mission, to be intentionally living and realizing there's lost people everywhere and they need the gospel. And that is the reason we exist. It's why we're here. And so I'm thankful for you all coming and sharing and challenging us and being examples to us of what it's like to live for Christ and go and just be available to Him. And God can use us. He can use you. And we can be used daily if we're faithful. And so with that, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. We will extend a hymn of invitation. Our musicians had to leave early today, but Josh has got a hymn pulled up for us, so we're going to sing along with it. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you just maybe need to come today and pray and ask God to set your heart more on missions, help you to see people as He does, be faithful in sharing the gospel with others daily, maybe setting yourself to go on a mission trip and being available to that, whatever it might be in your heart, maybe just surrendering yourself to Christ fresh and new, maybe coming to Christ for the first time, maybe just been dry and you just need to draw near to Christ and be faithful in prayer and the Word and growing in that relationship personally, whatever it is, let's respond to Him. Father, we need You today. As we extend this invitation, Father, it's Your invitation. You've spoken to us through this testimony, through Angela and Elizabeth. You've spoken to us through Your Word, and God, we need You. We want to be faithful. We want to be salt and light. We want to be on mission every day. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail in that, and we're so busy with our own lives and other things, we don't slow down to see people, or engage people, or minister to others with the love of Christ, and how this world needs to see the love of Christ and hear the truth of Christ, and they will not unless it's through us. And so, God, help us to that end. Move upon our hearts this morning. Help us to respond to You. In Jesus' name, amen.